904. Lead us on following the lesson this morning. 904. Just a reminder, you've seen this flyer. We've been advertising 2 weeks from this weekend. Daryl Tripp from the Bostonia congregation will be with us just for a Saturday morning, Sunday morning. So I encourage you to be here. It's an opportunity to be lifted up. The topics are designed to encourage us, to increase our faith, to be more diligent in our work. It's just the title of it is Abounding in the Work. So whatever we're doing, then we want to do it more. We want to abound in the work. It's kind of like, not to be sarcastic, but if you think you're doing enough and you don't need to do any more, these lessons are designed for you. If you're satisfied, I press on. So don't be satisfied. Be encouraged, lifted up. It's to put a smile, these lessons are designed to put a smile on your face as you go about Christian living. So coming up about 2 weeks from this weekend. Also on Saturday morning, there's a sign-up sheet to bring refreshments before the meeting begins at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Just light refreshments, donuts, fruit trays, juice, things like that. I'll have this on the table in the foyer if you'd like to bring something. I'd appreciate that very, very much. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, please do so. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us, designing on doing good. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. That's to this morning's lesson. The key verse is in verse 9. Let's not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary. For in due season, that's right, we shall reap. Don't get discouraged thinking, oh, I don't see any immediate results. We shall reap in due season if we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. By definition, weary means to lose heart. Or you might faint or feel fainting. I'm just worn out, Brian. I'm tired out. I'm depleted in my strength. I'm burned out. A lot of words we use to describe that. I'm drained. I'm done in. I'm run down. I'm sapped. I'm weakened. That's me. You might say, I don't want any more. Well, the text means yes, and I put this in your notes, you can get tired from doing good, of doing good. Don't get tired of doing good. It means, yes, there's time to refresh yourself. You can recharge. You can power up. You can take a break. There's time, but you want to say, I need to get back in my former vigor. I just need to stop for a moment. Okay. Then get up and get back to work. Do what we're supposed to do. The verse is designed to encourage us. Yeah, we get weary, sure do. Right, just as we do in life. We have our rest breaks, lunch hour, time to go home from work, weekends, vacations. Yeah, then we have to go back to work. Yeah. So stop if you must, but then get back to work. I don't know who wrote the poem. It's titled Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low, the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. And often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. And often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the knight slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint on the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Don't quit. Next phrase is the as we get weary, and we're weary from doing good. I hope you are. From doing good. It's defined in verse 10, the next verse. We'll have opportunity. Let's do good, and to all, especially those of the household of faith, especially those. For in due season, why would I want to keep giving it my effort? Some people say, well, I don't see the results right now. That's right, you may not. For in due season we shall reap. That's the end result when we maintain doing good. Keep going. Keep at it. I've just put some other admonitions in your notes. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable unto them, that men always ought always to pray and not lose heart. Yeah, don't do that. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry and we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. Yeah, look at everything God's given for us. Bountiful blessings. Over and over again, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, one phrase in there, give us this day our daily bread. And he does. He provides. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, as for you, brethren, don't grow weary in doing good. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, it says, consider him. So now when you're losing heart or I get weary, I'm faint, and I just don't feel up to it. Oh, I don't think I want to do that today. Oh, the Hebrews 12, verse 1. Consider him, meaning Jesus, who endured hostility against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You look to Jesus. He hung in there, as we say. He remained steadfast. He didn't quit. But look what he endured. He endured. He didn't quit. So I'm going to give you four things in your notes to kind of encourage us in this effort of not quitting. Number one, I just put a slogan or a motto, a little phrase. You know, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. In Colossians 3, verse 1, Paul said, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And we are. We've been raised with Christ. We're on God's side. I'm Christian. Yeah, been born again. Don't take your eyes off the goal. Seek those things which are above. Next verse, set your mind on things above. There's the goal. For illustrations, I put in your notes just a phrase, you and I will walk in the direction in which we're looking. If you look at the obstacles, that's the direction you're going to walk. You see that goal over there, but you also see the hardship. And you start looking at the hardship, you're going to take your eyes off the goal, and you're going to walk toward the obstacle. You see that? For example, when it comes to education, now, when I finished high school, I wanted a college degree. Someone said, you know, Brian, that's going to take 4 years. Oh, no. 4 years? Oh, but I want an education. Don't take your eye off the goal. And all those years contributed to the success of reaching that goal. Same thing if I want a certificate or whatever it is. Don't see your studies as an obstacle to the goal. Those obstacles contribute to your goal. Say, oh, in my Christianity, I don't want to attend Bible class or worship assembly. Oh, it's just hard. It's first day of the week. I like my weekends. Oh, you're starting to look at the obstacles, aren't you? Take your eye off the goal. I want to get to heaven. That's the goal. What's it going to take? Fellowship, assembly, prayer, Bible study. Those are not obstacles. Those things are things that contribute to the goal of reaching heaven. Friendship, fellowship, those aren't obstacles. But you start looking, oh, I don't want to do that today. What time do we start? Can't we start at noon? I think if we start at noon, people wouldn't be here. That's too late. You're going to look at the obstacle and take your eye off the goal. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eye off the goal. I put one other phrase. I didn't put it in my notes. I put it in. Too many people don't want to pay the price for success, but they willingly pay the price for failure. You don't want to pay the price for success? You don't want Bible study? You don't want friendship, fellowship? You don't want to pay the price for success. The obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. Number two is the example of the Apostle Paul. He's the role model, he's the pattern, he's the visual for this lesson. I think Paul, talked to the Apostle Paul. I said, Apostle Paul, do you have any obstacles in your Christianity? Ever have some obstacles in your ministry? Oh, here they are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning of verse 8, we're hard-pressed on every side. You ever been hard-pressed? Yeah. Well, Paul continues. Wait, not only that. I'm perplexed, but not corrupt, but not in despair. Been persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I want to say, Paul, how's that Christianity working out for you? I've been persecuted and struck down. And then he goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You think, well, that's enough, Paul. You ought to be pretty discouraged. In 2 Corinthians 6, he says, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, weary. Aren't you tired out, burned out? Now we just had 4, so now we're up to 14, aren't we? We're not finished. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul said, I more. You think you've had enough? Paul says, I have more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews five times I received 40 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. Perils of robbers. Perils of my own countrymen. Wow. Perils of the Gentiles. I've had perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea. I've had perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. If you hadn't been counting, there were 25 things Paul just mentioned. Paul, how's that Christianity working out for you? Oh, he just read 25 things he just mentioned that would cause his weariness. Then there were those 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There were those 4 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 39 things just in this book of 2 Corinthians. Paul mentioned, I have cause to be weary. I feel sometimes burned out, defeated. Yeah, I feel tired out, run down, weakened. Paul looked at those obstacles, he would have quit. So Paul, what's the goal? What's the cure? What kept you going, Paul? How'd you overcome the weariness? Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. I set my mind on things above. I set my mind. I looked at the goal, not the obstacles. In Philippians 3, verse 12, Paul said, I haven't already attained. No, haven't got there yet. I'm not already perfect. No, I'm not perfect. But I press on. Paul, what keeps you going? I just keep pressing on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. In verse 14, Philippians 3, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, what keeps you going? I just read 39 obstacles. 39 obstacles. Paul, how'd you keep going? I just press on. I press on to the goal. I don't look at those obstacles. Back one time, he said, these things contribute to my success. He was in prison in Rome. He said, it contributed to the furtherance of the gospel. Obstacles? Yeah. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought. Paul, how'd you overcome? I fought. I finished. I kept going. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Kept it. I fought. I finished. I kept. So henceforth, what's the goal? There laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, but not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing or follow my example. Let's take Jesus. I have to hurry. The example of Jesus. Jesus, did you ever get weary? Could have. Huh? John 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You talk about discouraging. Even as a preacher, Bible class teacher, preaching to an assembly like this, if you start bailing out, get discouraged. You leave the assembly, you forsake the assembly. Oh, man. Weary. When brethren don't stay faithful. Oh, that hurts. Jesus, you think you got weary? Yeah. He just preached the last sermon. And they didn't want to hear what he had to say, so they left him. I don't like that sermon, Jesus. I don't like what you're saying. So they left. Didn't walk anymore with him. Discouraged? Yeah. John chapter 7, the next chapter. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He didn't want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Oh, but my brethren don't threaten my life. That'd be discouraging. Jesus said in John 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say? To be a preacher or a teacher and not have the class listen? Wow. Get weird. Keep coming back, though. Jesus laments over the city of Jerusalem in Matthew 23. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. Jesus preached to an audience that didn't respond in many cases. Ah, isn't that weary? Jesus, they're not doing what you're asking. Ah, I'm tired. Jesus might say, I'm tired. I'm burned out. Ah, hurts. The Feast of Unleavened Eating, he said, assuredly, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. Oh, no. One of my faithful will betray me. Oh, that gets to me, doesn't it? Weary? What are those definitions? Paul, Jesus, You ever get faint, worn out, tired out, burned out, drained, done in, run down, sapped, weakened, don't want to do it anymore? That ever happened to you? You have enough reasons to, for that to happen. But he's just as Paul said, nope, I'm going to press on. Jesus, how'd you do it? Where'd you get your strength from? John 5, verse 30. I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I want to sleep in. No, it's not my will. It's the Father's will. I don't want to come to Bible class. It's not my will. I don't want to pray for brethren. It's not my will. I'm doing it to the Father's will. That's what keeps me going, keeps my eye on the goal. Jesus said in John 6, verse 38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus, what kept you going? In Luke 22, verse 41, when he's in the garden, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, don't let this cup pass from me. But no, God, Father said, no, Jesus, you're going to have to go through that. Oh, no. Discouraging. Could have called 10,000 angels to relieve him, but no. Next phrase, nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but the Father's. Your will be done. So are you going to get tired and weary? Yeah, that's the lesson, isn't it? That's page one. Let's not grow weary while we're doing good. Let's not do that. Because in due season, we'll reap. We don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. So don't quit. And the last word of encouragement, I've just listed these four. But I know you can think of others. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, just knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We'll reap in due season. We'll reap. So the lesson is, I can't eliminate the troubles and trials. Can't take that away. Yeah, we'll get discouraged in doing good. Sure will. Especially when you see all those obstacles. Like I said, Paul, how many obstacles do you have? We just read 39. Jesus, how many obstacles do you have? I just read 4 for him. There were many, many more. Paul says, I press on. Jesus says, it's not my will. That's how I keep going. I'm doing the Father's will. And that's the invitation we extend. Always at the close of a lesson. A song of encouragement. It's a song of exhortation, moving us to right, do the right thing. It's a song of invitation. It's an invite to come to Jesus. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Yeah, you're weary, burned out, tired. Yeah, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Oh, really? Yes, he will. My yoke is easy. You think Christianity is hard? Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see, the problem, Christianity only gets heavy for those people that are dragging the cross. You pick up the cross and carry it. It's easier. You ever try to drag a heavy load? Carry it. You're subject to that invitation. The last words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Going to all of the gospel to every creature. Good news message. Good news message. A salvation message. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You're subject to it. Have not obeyed that message already. We have this opportunity. Just simply let your desire, your resolve be known.